Well, now, in all of these traditions, Hindu as well as Buddhist, there's the idea of reincarnation. This is just as fundamental to Indian mythological thinking, religious thinking, as anything in our tradition having to do with religion. The notion there is that the soul, I'll say what the soul is in a minute, puts on bodies and takes them off, puts on bodies and takes them off, as a person puts on clothing and takes them off. What is the function of the body? The function of the body is to put you into a realm of experience. The body is something that assimilates, or that has experience, which it is the business of the soul to assimilate. And then when this body has assimilated the possibilities of experience in this lifetime, it is cast away, and another body is taken on. One is born in the caste, according to this view, or in the social position that is appropriate to the readiness of your soul. The notion is, really, that you choose your parents. Let's say the soul has a certain readiness for a certain type of experience, a certain need for a certain type of experience, and it will come into birth in a family that will render those experiences. Now, the individual soul may resist these experiences, in which case it is not benefiting from this lifetime. This may balk it and put it back, throw it quite back, in fact. So this is the death idea. When the body has worn out its possibilities, it is cast off, and then a new body is taken on. The ultimate goal, you see, in these terms, is not to put on anybody anymore. Let's say to be released, not to be anybody, anything. Well, what is it that brings you back? What is it that keeps you coming back and putting bodies on? It is desire and fear. You have a desire for life. You have a fear of death. When you absolutely quenched desire and fear, those things that all of us live by, then there's no life. Now, you can go through all kinds of exercises and think you've got rid of desires and fear, but the very fact that you're trying to get rid of them is a desire. And this is the funny twist in all this, which every monk runs up against. The harder you try not to want, the more you're wanting not to want. And so you're in a double bind there, as they say. The illumination comes when you are least ready. I think we have this in our Christian imagery too. Christ comes when you're not looking very often and you must be ready. There was something I remember reading in the Abbe Dimne years and years ago, The Art of Reading, where he said, "Beware of the passing of Jesus, for he does not come again." This moment of real illumination comes when you're not quite watching for it. And when you're striving, you're actually blocking it very often. Now, this reincarnating entity is called the jiva, J-I-V-A, which is a word related to the Latin viva, the living force which keeps putting bodies on. Now, on a higher level, since all beings are manifestations of that ultimate being, all jivas are manifestations of the Atman. And if you will realize that this is nirvana, you will learn lose that will to get loose, and you will be loose while alive. That business of being in balance while moving in the world is the key to this. Now, this is a balance. One reason athletics and things like music performance and dance performance are so helpful as disciplines is that to do these things well, you both have to be doing it and not doing it. There has to be a kind of relaxation and turning it over to the body, to the performing power, so that your consciousness rides along with it. That is very much like the saintly attitude. The still point in the middle and the activity round about, and you're both the nirvanic point and the activity. The point where the Buddha sat is called the immovable point, but it is in the world, just as the hub is in part of the wheel. And that's, of course, the non-dual realization that we get. The other side. These are wonderfully paradoxical things. And depending on the person's balance and stress in his life and yearnings, he will find himself in accord with this, that, or another system. And that's what all these systems are for. In Buddhism, these are called Buddha realms. Each individual has his own proper Buddha realm, quite different from another's. And so we see a number of Buddhas, and they're all sitting there like ports, like seaports. Am I going to leave by way of New York, by Boston, by Halifax, to go across the ocean to the yonder shore? Well, which is nearer to my home? Is it going to be Amida Buddha, Gautama Buddha, Avalokiteshvara, or this one, Maitreya, or what? These are the lords of the Buddha realms, and each has a different kind of discipline to try to get you to feel, I'm there already, this is it. It's all one. And this is the final realization. This, right here, is Nirvana. Nirvana is the dimension of realization that lets you know that this is it. There's no place to go, you're there. The little ferry boat Buddhism, is the Buddhism of monks. The Buddhism of people who make a distinction between this shore and that, and are striving to get there. They have to give up the world. They have to give up their families, as people do who go into a convent or become Trappists. They change their names, they're somebody else entirely. But now when you get over there, you realize, well, I was there all the time. This is the wonderful bluebird theme. And so there we are, folks. We're there, and there's no place to go, and this is sort of it. As Dr. Suzuki, the Japanese Zen master, once said, this world, with all its faults, all its crime, all its horror, all its banality, all its stupidity, is the golden lotus world. But you have to see it in that dimension. There's an Indian image. Three beings drank from a river. One was a god. He drank ambrosia. One was a man. He drank water. One was a demon. He drank filth. What you get is a function of your own consciousness.